Welcome to a special edition of Thinking Out Loud. I'm Michael Sean Wright of nicefishfilms.com/blog, and we're joined by the Scobalizer from Building 43, Robert Scobal, and from Risen.com, Mark Risen Hopkins. We have kind of a breaking story today. The Iranian elections were highly anticipated as the news story of the week. Elections over there don't happen like over here, where it's years, but they're actually weeks. So what happens is the clerics get together and they decide who can run as the leader of Iran. They picked several candidates. Now, there was a lot of reporting that this was going to be a very tight election. What happened at the end result is that the old guy, he remained the president. But not even by a close election, but by a wide margin. So then there was a story that started breaking out on Twitter that maybe there was some shenanigans going on. Maybe that there were people gathering in the streets and that there were some photos coming out because journalists weren't talking about it through the mainstream media, and in particular, CNN. CNN seemed to be asleep at the wheel. Now, what I want to talk to Scobal about and Mark Risen Hopkins about is that CNN, as of late, has basically given the mantle of live media over to Twitter. And now we see news stories breaking out on Twitter. And every time we turn on CNN, there is a plug for Twitter. There's a Twitter stream going on. But now the trending topic on Twitter is hashtag CNN fail. Robert, can we begin with you and how Twitter maybe approached this story, what we saw from Twitter versus what we didn't see on CNN?
Well, I was watching it yesterday, and my wife is Iranian, so my family has a lot of interest in this story. It's ironic that we were trying to watch the official Iran news media, and they were showing nothing, you know. And then we turn on CNN, and they were showing Larry King Live with two guys talking about their motorcycle shop. So we were getting about the same thing from CNN as from the state-sponsored Iranian news media. And then we open up, you know, Facebook and Twitter and friend feed, and there's tons of news flowing and continue to be flowing. There was photos, there was videos, there was firsthand reports. You know, there was kids in dorm rooms telling us what was going on, because Twitter was blocked in some parts of Tehran, but in some of the university campuses it wasn't blocked, and people were still getting news out, you know, a little bit here and there. But I mean, yesterday afternoon we saw tons of photos. There was a whole Flickr feed with photos. There was tons of YouTube videos. And we were able to piece together a story that this was a pretty sizable protest, a pretty widespread protest. And we were hearing a lot from the online, the Twitter media, and some pro media, like BBC had lots of reports. But I kept turning on CNN every half an hour to see, you know, if they were covering anything, and they had absolutely nothing going on. And even today I'm looking at the real-time results for the hashtag CNN fail, and people are still saying that CNN is not really reporting very well, doesn't really have very much information, and it's pretty clear that CNN just didn't care and is trying to cover its behind now, and it's not even doing a good job of coming back and trying to regain a little bit of its reputation.
And Mark, you and I were talking earlier. We turned on CNN, and they didn't mention Twitter at all, which it didn't even seem like CNN without a Twitter mention. But when they did show it, what did you notice?
Well, I mean, they were, completely changing the story in terms of how they were. They didn't want to admit that they were wrong. And I was watching, we were watching that, and I saw the Christian Amanpour report. And, of course, we had someone refer to us the Twas Up feed, which is a really great way to kind of see a snapshot of what's going on. And I'm looking at these pictures here of what's happening there, and I'm seeing like the report from Christiane, and it's like, I mean, she could be doing that from Times Square, Central Park, or something like that. You know, it just, she's not, there's no story that she's delivering. She's talking about the election returns, and the anchor desk there is saying, well, we're seeing lots of feedback online that we're not reporting this story, and we've been filing this story since Friday night, and which is, I mean, the guy, I mean, we were both watching it. We both had the same reaction. The guy just flat out lied on air, the anchor. You weren't reporting the story. He was talking about these comments coming in with the CNN fail hashtag as if they were pro CNN, you know, kudos or something like that. It was just completely disconnected from what's actually going on. It's very bizarre. It's like they think that we won't notice or catch on or something. I've never seen that much denial in one place.
Were you noticing that they were showing streams with the hashtag CNN fail? Because I didn't see any of those.
No. I mean, they didn't show CNN fail one bit. But they were talking about like these, because the way he mentioned it, you knew he was talking. If you knew the situation, you knew he was talking about it. We're seeing tons of messages come in over Twitter and online. Why aren't you covering the story? To CNN, you know, he's not saying CNN fail, obviously, but you know that's what he's referring to. And it's I don't know, it struck me as funny and a little bit sad at the same time.
Robert, why do you think CNN so freely gave the real-time news authority over to Twitter when it was convenient for them? And now that we see that Twitter beat them at the punch for hours, because was ahead of the story, and now CNN is not even acknowledging that Twitter had this. Twitter, I think, forced them to go back on the air and readdress this story.
Because I think it's an unfortunate fact of American media that they are pandering to their audience, that they're totally ratings-based. And it's pretty clear. It's not just CNN, right? Fox and MSNBC were pretty bad on this story too. They feel that anything about the Middle East is boring to Americans, isn't going to get large ratings. And so they put things like Larry King Live on air and with two motorcycle mechanics who get lots of ratings, because that's pretty much pandering to the lowest common denominator who are watching TV. And, It's unfortunate that we have a news media that's just totally ratings based and not willing to lead and not willing to give the American people the broccoli that we need to be a leader in the world.
Does some of this have to do with that this took place over the weekend when newsrooms basically shut down, as if all news shuts down over the weekends?
Well, that certainly, it seems like it's playing a part. This wasn't the first time CNN was beat. You know, during the CNN earthquake, I was one of the first Americans to tell somebody else about the earthquake going on, the big Chinese earthquake. And we were 45 minutes before CNN because that earthquake happened late at night where, you know, CNN's in headquarters is in Atlanta, Georgia. And I bet that they have a very skeleton crew you know, that hanging around the newsroom, you know, during non-9 to 5 hours. And that certainly could play a role. I don't know how much of a role it played, but, you know, newsrooms and TV is getting cut back to the bare bones. And it's starting to look like newspapers, you know. If that is true, we're witnessing the death of TV news, and we're witnessing the ascendancy of a new kind of news that's more decentralized and not based on profits. You know, not based, because people who are telling you what's happening down outside their window will do that whether they're getting paid or not.
Yeah. Well, and this is the real exciting part of Building 43 for me, is that collaborative tools, real-time tools brought into one place to help spread those out, democratize those out, so that there are more tool sets available to everybody. I think the 24-hour news thing died a while ago when it wasn't as profitable as they thought. Or, hey, it's like MTV. Let's not show music videos anymore. Let's have reality shows. So instead of having news, let's have specialty shows about legal issues or I don't even know what. So real time on the net is replacing, do you think, what CNN's purpose was supposed to be?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's I remember, you know, when CNN came on the air and what caught our eyes were how it covered wars and news events like earthquakes in a way that the ABC, NBC, CBS newsrooms wouldn't cover things because they would only be on air for half an hour or an hour every night, and CNN could be on the air with news and didn't have that that pressure to get back to normal programming. And now we're seeing that CNN actually has that same pressure again, seeing pressure to put Larry King live on because that's a highly profitable show and very cheap to produce. And other shows, there were several shows that had nothing to do with news, were very profitable kinds of shows, but not had nothing to do with news. I think you're right on. I remember when MTV actually did play music videos, and then they started moving toward other kinds of programming, which was far more profitable. And that's what we're witnessing here.
I think what's surprising about this is that, you mentioned that Fox and MSNBC kind of did a poor job covering this as well. But, I mean, for those that kind of have, like us, kind of have a finger in monitoring politics and kind of that mainstream news cycle, we've sort of realized that MSNBC and Fox have kind of given themselves over towards like pandering to their particular partisan bases quite a while back. Yeah. I mean, they're not necessarily. CNN was the last, kind of the last holdout. Hey, we're trying to be still a real news source. We're not gonna pander, at least not the same way they're pandering. But it's kind of shown, I think, this event, this watershed event has kind of shown that they may too be pandering, just maybe not quite as obviously as we realized the other two were. So I really don't know. I'm still stunned by the disconnect, because like just right after the last show Michael and I did is when I logged into Twas Up, and I'm there is nothing, even because Christiane Amanpour has got a pretty decent reputation.
Yeah.
For reporting some real kind of hard hitting news. I mean, it's almost like, I don't want to say she was muzzled, because CNN's got very little skin in the game to muzzle her. I don't see where their angle would be to say, okay, why don't you dial it back and not talk about all the bloodiness and the violence. But I mean, I'm seeing pictures here coming across Twitter in such volume that there's no way it can be isolated incidents. We've got millions of people, at least thousands of people in one picture, you know, in front of burning buildings, getting beaten down, facing down guns.
Yeah.
Universities ransacked, injuries. I mean, there's just none of that anywhere. I mean, right now I'm looking right here, and they're still showing pictures of the two presidential candidates in Iran, casting their votes, showing their blackened finger. You know, like I just casted my vote. That happened what? Friday night, Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and now I'm looking over, and we're following a channel called Iran.twasup with two Z's .com, and the popular tweets change for Iran. We now have some students with urgent need of medical attention. I'm calling out to people who can come here. Don't leave us. # Iran election. Scoble, this seems like, I think, the first time I've witnessed over the last year that there is an urgent call for help. There's an urgent call that what you're seeing or not seeing on general media is not the full story. This is almost like a crisis that nobody wants to see except for the real-time web. And I think when we look back in history, this is going to be one of those turning points. This is why I preach real-time web.
I totally think this is a turning point. It's really weird. I don't know if you read who I met last night, but I was at the fire ring at the Ritz, and I was talking to my friend Luke about how this was a turning point in Twitter's history. And a guy tapped me on the shoulder and goes, "What are you saying about Twitter?" And it was Twitter CEO, Ev Williams.
Yeah.
And I wasn't talking to him. I didn't even know he was there. I was talking to my friend Luke, and I was saying, this is an amazing time to watch the ascendancy of one kind of media and the descendancy of another kind of media, and see how the world is changing because of the technology and the groups of people that these tools have put together, you know. And I totally think yesterday is going to be looked at for a long time as another key point in the changeover of the news media. A lot of people are saying, you know, and I'm interviewing actually Rick Sanchez from CNN on stage at the Twitter conference on Tuesday, and I'm sure they're going to come back with some sort of, you know, response like, well, you can't trust anything on Twitter, and we've seen hoaxes on Twitter before, and you know, just because it's fast doesn't mean it's accurate, that kind of argument. And those arguments have some merit, but I'm looking at TwazOp, and there is real news there, and it's pretty clear that something's happening. And you know, I just don't see us going back. I don't see CNN coming back from this, at least not in terms of brand, in terms of, you know, moral authority. They make Americans look really stupid. You know, it's the worst part of America is what came out yesterday, is that we care more about motorcycle mechanics than we care about what's going on in other countries.
Well, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what Americans feel. I think that's
a lot
what
of Americans
CNN.
Do feel that. A lot of Americans, let's be honest, a lot of Americans, that's sort of where we are, you know, mentally. You know, people who are on Twitter and Facebook and print feed, you know, and are talking about this stuff are among the most intellectual and most tied in of all of our people. There are, for every one comment you see there, there's 1,000 comments, you know, that you're not seeing, which is from the average citizen. And, you know, and that's why CNN made the news judgment it did. There's no mistake. There's no mistaking why they made that news judgment. They knew the ratings weren't there. And, you know, Mary Grace or whatever her name is, you know, and
Nancy
Larry King, you know, yeah, they pull more ratings and they pull more advertising dollars, and they're cheaper to produce. They don't have to send a reporter over to Iran, where you probably can't get anybody on the ground anyways if you don't already have a news bureau there. But if I was running CNN, that wouldn't have been a problem. I would have just pulled photos and videos off of the internet and started interviewing people.
Well, I mean, particularly right in a now. Case like this, because like the criticism you mentioned is that sometimes it's not reliable. Or sometimes, you know, the hoaxes can get put across. Right. Well, yeah, but this is not a single source rumor. I mean, this isn't, you know, is Twitter being bought by Apple this weekend, which is, you know, that, you know, a single source rumor that got floated up in the tech blogosphere a couple of months ago. This is like, there's 1,000 tweets a second, I mean, coming across. I mean, this is, you know, pictures yeah. flying across the screen. It's obvious something is happening, and it's important. Well,
and people are paying attention. Jay Rosen just wrote on one of the threads we're talking about. He said, please remember, and Jay Rosen's a professor of journalism at New York State University, if I remember right. He said, please remember, CNN frequently says, and it is frequently said about CNN, that it cannot be beat in covering a big breaking news story. It's bread and butter, and that no American network can match its international reach or global reporting network. They should be out front on this story. Totally agree. This is the death of a news brand, because once a brand gives up like this, it does. I don't think it comes back. It's like General Motors give up on building the world's best cars, and it never came back from the 1970s.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing on Iran.twazup.com, tweet after tweet after tweet, Tehran University dorm under heavy attack. People need help. No one is helping. Spread the word. Where's
of course
CNN?
They're not helping. This is a government who doesn't want this shit to go on in its country. You know, this is a government run by a religious, you know, a religion. And religions don't like dissent and don't like change. You know, people who are religious, the reason we call it a religious argument is because you don't want to change. You don't want to admit that there's some other way of looking at something in the world. And they're not going to help. They're going to let these kids die, you know, and they're going to put them in jail and try to squash whatever, rebellion there is.
Well,
but
and this is
the seeds of protest are spawned. That picture of that girl shaking her fist at the police or the military coming toward her, that's iconic. That changes society's cultures. And just like it took us 8 years to get rid of George Bush, it'll take them 8 years, maybe 20 years. But that visual depiction of change coming is unmistakable. And I'm heartened by that, because I was thinking, well, you know, Iran gets its the leadership that it deserves because the people aren't willing to stand up to it. But that is a symbol that there are people willing to stand up to it. And that does bring change eventually. Maybe not today, eventually.
That reminds me of the Tiananmen Square, that brave young man and standing in front of those tanks.
Yeah. That's the kind of iconic image that, you know, I'm certain if there's justice in the world, that image wins the Pulitzer Prize. You know, that's the kind of iconic image that if you go to the museum in Washington, D.C., they have a room of all the Pulitzer Prize winners. And if that image isn't on the walls in a year, there just isn't anybody paying any attention in the media.
Well, I go back to CNN willingly gave Twitter the real-time authority as your news source by promoting Twitter so heavily. Every time we turned CNN.
That's a deep story. That's an interesting story that and Facebook, let's not just make it about Twitter either, because it's Facebook was very important. My wife was getting a lot of news from her friends on Facebook. In fact, what's really interesting is my wife grew up in Tehran, and she left Tehran when she was 14. Every single one of her elementary school friends are on Facebook. So there's now a worldwide connection with this community. And they're all over the world. There's some in Paris, there's some in Toronto, there's some still in Tehran, but they're all connected all over the world. And they still have families in Tehran, right? So, and here in Silicon Valley, one of the reasons that Facebook has to be, decide to be headquartered in Silicon Valley is the community that's here. And there's tens of thousands, probably around 10,000, maybe even more, Iranian Americans who live in Silicon Valley, and there's even more in Los Angeles. And so we're tied into a community here that spreads around the world, and also is located there in Iran. And so all of these news media, it's not just Twitter, right? Although Twitter was one of the least blocked networks yesterday inside Iran, so it became a little bit better than Facebook and friend feed for gathering news. But all of these news networks are really important for getting news out. Flick, and there was, keep in mind, it wasn't even those three. It was Flickr, there was YouTube, And then there was blogging. You know, I saw lots of blogs written by Iranians, and I don't know where it was.
it was interesting yesterday on the LA news on one of the radio news channels that a woman was saying the only place that I can get my news right now is from Twitter and from FriendFeed, because as we know, FriendFeed has a large Middle East community because they're developers, they're early adopters. And so, and just seconds ago over the Twitter, and we're monitoring iran.twasup.com, International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran confirms detention of at least 20 opposition politicians and journalists. More tear gas is being launched at Tehran University against the protesters. Again, look what's happening right now on CNN, on Fox News. CNN is in commercial. Fox News is in some kind of pre-recorded BS. Robert, if we needed real time more than ever, it's right now.
Yeah. Well, there's obviously something going on here. And it's not just Iran, right? During the Chinese earthquake, we were 45 minutes before any newspaper or magazine or TV station or radio station even admitted that there was a big earthquake in China. You know, and so, and you know, we saw how the plane crash in the Hudson was covered by the Twitter media. The guy who took the picture of the plane, you know, sitting in the Hudson, did that on Twitter on TwitPic with his iPhone, and was on MSNBC 35 minutes after he took the picture. There's something going on here. Not avoidable anymore that there's a new Twitter news network, you know, a TNN, not a CNN, being built. And with pages like TwasUp, I mean, this is a newspaper, a real-time newspaper. I'm watching it just like you are, and right in front of our face, it changes, and there's new videos, new pictures, and, you know, new reports. Yeah. And yeah, there's a lot of noise there and a lot of duplication. So, and figuring out what is really important to pay attention to is a little difficult right now. But there's a new network being built here, and that stuff will get figured out. You know, there will be curated pages that people get, you know, people pick out the good stuff and say, this is the important stuff to pay attention to. And there will be new news brands built out of this, you know, whether it's Huffington Post or, you know, or other brands that are going to come out. I think that'll be fascinating to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark, do you remember a couple of months ago when you and I were talking about an RTNN, real-time news network, that CNN could as very easily spun off a channel? But first of all, I couldn't understand why CNN would give so much power to Twitter unless it was already talking to them about doing a deal. So you have a couple of anchors that are monitoring the real-time stream and then plucking out what's really starting to trend up and start going back to the sources from the people that are on the street and saying, okay, let's get you on the phone, let's get you on Skype, and let's figure out what's happening on the ground. Robert, that needs to happen today.
Yeah. I think that'll be the topic of the Twitter conference this week in New York.
Yeah, imagine so. No, since you you were the first connection I had to the story, Robert. It hadn't crossed any of my. I was mostly offline for most of the weekend, but when I did come online, you were the first one that pointed me to the whole thing going on there. What are like the major things to be kind of keeping an eye out for, since you're kind of closer to it than the rest of us? Like, what, there's obviously the big civil unrest story and a possible stolen election and all this other stuff, but what are the subtext and the subtleties that you're seeing kind of emerge coming out of Iran that should be paying attention to or help us kind of make some sense of what's coming across here?
I'm not up to date enough to really cover that well right now, because it, this is still an evolving story, and it's still, to me, it still is a state that's in control. And from what I'm hearing, I don't hear enough people that are challenging the control of where of the state. You know, I mean, my mother-in-law called some of her relatives, and they didn't even want to talk about it. And so there still is a mainstream populace who's scared, at best scared to talk about it, and at worst apathetic. And we're not hearing their voices, and they're probably the, if this election was actually accurate, they're probably the ones who voted for keeping the old guy in charge. You know, it's just like, why did we elect George Bush twice here? You know, they're the same dynamics.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I would challenge you a little bit on that. We didn't have a group of clerics who said, these are your 10 guys that you can vote for. That we had money that said, these are the two guys that you can vote for.
Yeah.
Now, through the democratization, the equalization of voices, if you will, through real time and through being able to really look at what people are actually interested in at this moment, we know that Ahmadinejad controls a lot of weapons. He controls, unfortunately, the media.
You know, and they clearly are controlling a lot of the internet traffic. They turned off FriendFeed and Facebook and some other news networks, and it wasn't clear whether Twitter was down the whole time or partial time, but it seems
like Twitter, from what I've been seeing right now, there's still trouble getting through to Twitter, but they're having to use like anonymous what do you call them? Anonymous proxy servers. Yeah.
They use those. I studied that when I went to China too. The first thing they did was, you know, when I stepped off the plane in China, they said, "Hey, which proxy server would you like to use?" You know, so the kids are pretty adept at getting around the technology blocks that are put in place. And even if the internet goes down completely, eventually information leaks out, because it's just too difficult to block every iPhone and iPod and cell phone. You know, a cell phone today has 8 gigs of memory in it, maybe even 32 gigs of memory. That's a lot of memory to hold a lot of photos, and there's no way every airport security can catch every cell phone going through it. And so all of these societies are pretty porous. You know, I carried something like eight gigabytes. Almost 3 terabytes of hard drives that we carried through China, and we never were stopped. You know, they never checked. They didn't care. So while they have firewalls up for some things, it's mostly to retard the speed at which information travels. They know that the information is going to travel now, and I think the kids are going to get better and come up with ways of communicating that don't rely on technology so much.
What do you think that means? I mean, now that it's a virtual impossibility to stop the information flow on a permanent basis. I mean, how do you think that is that going to accelerate change? Still a lot of work that has to be done in the mainstream?
The remarkable thing of yesterday was the clerics had to respond to these protesters. Mm-hmm. And why were they responding? You know, why did they say we're going to look a second time at the election results? Why are they responding to these protests? They're responding in a good measure because they know they're in a PR war. Mm-hmm. And they know that if they don't respond to some of it, at least, that they're going to get kicked out faster than they otherwise would. These aren't stupid people running these governments. You know, they understand that they're about to get kicked out, you know, of power, and they don't want to see that happen. So they're going to play the game as much as anybody else. And, you know, 2 weeks ago I was on the deck of a aircraft carrier, and who was showing me around? The guy who was twittering on behalf of the Navy, right? The world is changing for all organizations. And that's what's really great. You know, that's what's going to bring the long change. These organizations know that videos of them beating people in the streets aren't going to sell well. You know, that those are going to be seen by their people eventually, and that the seeds of change have now been put into people's heads. That the kids know that they can stand up to the power, and yes, they probably will get thrown in jail for 15 years, but those seeds of change are there. China today is a different country than it was when Tiananmen Square happened. And the kids learn how to protest. You know, they might not get in the street this next time in China because they know that will lead down a certain road, but they're pushing their society in many ways. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to watch this go down, you know. This really good stuff. I mean, back in Tiananmen Square, the speed of information flow was very, very slow. I mean, back in 89, remember when we had our earthquake out here, it took me almost 8 hours to get a black and white photo from Silicon Valley to a newspaper on the East Coast. And today we have the ability to put that up on Flickr and get it around the world in seconds. You know, the world is different today than it was in 89, you know, 20 years ago.
Right.
Well, Robert and Mark, I want to welcome Cyril Moltran, who is the founder of TwazUp. And Cyril, we've been monitoring iran.twazup.com today and talking about the amount of information that's coming over your stream. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're seeing in regards to the volume?
Hello. I'm sorry because I'm just waking up. We've been working all night, you know, with the team at TwazUp. So I just took like a little half an hour sleep just got invited on the call. So thank you very much. You know, we got a really an overwhelming response, and we've been trying to track the event. A lot of people were asking us to help to get the message out there, especially trying to basically get, you know, the message in Farsi and a lot of people from Iran, you know, trying to also get in touch with people that are still there in Iran. So that's what we've been working on.
Well, I'm just seeing stream tweet after tweet after tweet with photos. And I think this is an amazing thing about TwazUp is that I can not only see the volume that's coming in, but you're also integrating the photos with it. Robert, do you have some questions about how TwazUp is approaching this?
I'd love to get a tour around the page and know how it decides which things are getting on the popular tweets. Last night, one of my tweets showed up on the popular tweets, and that was interesting because I knew it was being retweeted. Are you just looking at the retweeting behavior?
Yeah, mostly. You know, what we've done is, so right now what we've done on the special page for Iran, there's pretty much all the same thing that we do typically on the regular TwazUp site. So the popular tweets are kind of looking at trying to look at the most recent activity on Twitter, and within that activity, trying to find out what are the messages that are moving the fastest. So retweet have a big importance in terms of trying to figure out what messages are really popular right now, or what's resonating with the Twitter community right now. Similar things happen in terms of the pictures. We're trying to really, because pictures are very visual, so we're trying to, within like the time frame that we identify as being the most recent event, trying to identify which pictures are moving the fastest within the tweet stream and across the social network that is Twitter. And then we've done also trying to identify the correspondent, the people who are on the ground out there, you know, trying to get the message out. And So that's how the correspondent flow is working right now on the site, and the videos as well is just really identifying videos that have been pushed from people on the ground over there. And then the links, the way the links works is similar to the popular tweets. It's it is kind of a real time dig of the tweet stream. So looking, and you can also, when you're trying to look for a subject, you can, the query that you're doing, whatever you're looking for, we're looking at the most recent links and trying to look at the links that are the most retweeted and the most frequent in the short, in the recent time frame.
By the way, is this being live broadcast anywhere? We forgot to cover that at the beginning of the call.
Yeah, what I've done is just for a quality MP3 stream is I'm recording it, and then as soon as we're done, pushing it immediately out to Building 43, to all of our blogs.
Very cool.
And you've been listening to a special edition of Thinking Out Loud. Our thanks to Sira Motran of twasup.com. You can follow all of the breaking Iranian election news and the fallout at iran.twasup.com and regular at twasup.com. Also, thanks to Robert Scoble of building43.com, who's building better tools for the real-time web, and to Mark Risen Hopkins of risen.com. For Thinking Out Loud, I'm Michael Sean Wright of nicefishfilms.com/blog.